Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
I'm in Mark tonight, chapter number 12, verse 28. I said on the thing 29, but Jeff, I'm going to read 28 through 31, and it encompasses, it uses that same scripture that I used this morning out of Luke. But now I'm going to take this and I'm going to go in a little different direction with it tonight, but I need to read it all to get it in context. We heard it this morning. We're going to hear it again tonight. And that is Mark chapter 12, verse 28, is what I hope I said. And my thought tonight is simply this: one. You found 12:28, shout amen.
Amen.
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then what we heard this morning, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, bless you for the night and the chance to be in the house of God. For these that have come out, Lord, I pray you feed them. I pray you give us a nugget we haven't seen before. I pray you, God, you give them fresh manna from above. I can't give them the manna, Lord. Praise God. It takes the Holy Ghost. It takes you, Lord. It takes the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and giving out the manna. Help us tonight. Bless this word for your sake. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue. Lord, preach me inside the bounds of the book. Be glorified in everything it's done. Lord, there might be one lost here tonight. I pray you'd save them in this small crowd. Someone would be saved on this night for your glory. In Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. And amen. Now, we have here Jesus saying that the first of all commandments is this. This is a quote out of Deuteronomy 6. I think it's about verse number 4. And this is a quote from that. And Moses giving the law. But here Jesus is saying, this is it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He should have lordship. At one time in America, he was Lord of what we've done. He'll always be God. You'll never change that. But is he Lord of our lives and of our nation? I would say no. But then we see this. We say he's one Lord. And then we remember in 1 John 5 and 7, there's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So some's a little confused by that. Said, well, how can there be one Lord and one God, and then there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and Jesus was all of these. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, so Jesus holds all of those within himself. He said, I am the Father of one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. So there we have Christ, praise God. You have Christ as the Father's in him. You have him as the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit in him. All three of these in one. Isn't that good? He's one Lord. I'm not confused by that. They don't tear me up, flip me out. Some people say don't believe in that Trinity stuff. I don't believe in that. Well, throw your Bible in the trash then, because, well, don't literally do that, but you just as well, because these three are one. Now, I got a hold of this thought, one. It was on my heart real heavy. I thought, Lord, I don't know what to do with one. So I began to search the scriptures, and here's what I found. Eventually, I'm going to wind up in Ephesians. But first, I want to go through the Gospels, if I may, and see three accounts here. And I want I won't preach on all three of them. I'm just going to mention them. Mark 10 and 21, the rich young ruler comes running to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him a list of the commandments. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. I've done this. I haven't committed adultery. I mean, he was every mama's dream for their daughter, with the exception, thou one thing thou lackest. One. He didn't like any. There was one thing that he lacked. What did he lack? Surrender. He lacked surrender. He went away sad. He had a lot of things. He had stuff. Jesus said, hey, give that to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. You'll have treasures in heaven. And he went away grieved because he had great possession. He could not surrender. I don't know that we can really sing that song, to be honest. I surrender all. We sing that song. So we see one thing that he lacked, that was lacked. Then in Luke 10:42, we see this. When they come to the supper, it's right up above what I read out of today. When Jesus is at the supper, Martha's all cumbered about much serving. She's in a tizzy because she's doing all the work. And here's what Jesus said to Martha. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. So the good thing, Mary chose the good thing. What is that? We see her selected. We see lack of surrender, but we see Mary. We see Mary choosing or selecting the Lord above everything else that's going on. She don't care about the party. She really doesn't care if anybody gets fed or not. She's going to find herself worshiping at the feet of Jesus, and she'll let everything else fall out. She'll let the grass grow. The laundry could be let go. Listen, she'll be late for work. She's going to forget all these things. She's going to find herself at the feet of Jesus, and he said she chose the good part. So we see one thing thou lackest, one thing is needful. The choosing or the selecting of Christ, seeking may be fit right there. She's seeking. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Now, we find in John 9 and 25, here's what we find. We find an old fella that's been blind. And now here's what he says. One thing I know. They're asking to say, hey, how'd this happen? Who done this? What's up with this? I really don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Hey, one thing I know, there was one time I was blind, but now I see. So I think this is a picture of Christians today. What are we doing? Praise God, we surrender. We choose the Lord, or we seek the Lord. And you know what that enables us to do? It opens our eyes. I thought, my, what an outline there through the scripture that this is how it begins. We begin by surrender. Then we do this. Then we begin to seek him. Look, and then after we seek, then we come seeing. And we see things, and the picture, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. But also, the longer I serve him, the better I see. So he shows us things. We see things that we hadn't seen before. You hear me say that often. I'm reading the scripture the other day. I saw this for the first time. And I've read it, I don't know how many times, a lot. And I've never seen it. So what does that do? That's how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And it's by increasing our faith. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. We spend time in the Word of God. And the better we see. Now, with all these ones that I've said, but then that leads us, when we begin to see, let's go to Ephesians 4 and 5. Brother Wade quoted this to me in the prayer room this morning. I didn't realize this is where I was going to wind up tonight until I begin to study this, because I see that. When I begin to see, it leads me into this. What did I say? 4 and 5? Let me go to one to get it in context. You got to get it. It's got to. Sometimes you just can't start in the middle. Paul speaking. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He's in a real prison here, you know. But he's saying he's a prisoner of the Lord. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is what unifies these next things, is what unifies the body of Christ. I'm about to read. Why? Because there's only one. I think we had a good demonstration of that this week in camp meeting. But you didn't know this. We had Church of God folk here, and Pentecostals, and some maybe a Christian Baptist or two. I don't know. We had a little of everything. It was just a cornucopia of Christians all gathered in there in the house. I didn't see. I didn't have any problem with any of them.
Amen.
What is that? It's unity in the body. That's what that is. Now, as we go here, we go to verse number 4, and there's one body. I want to talk about that for just a second. There is one body. If there's people that claim to be Christians, and they think they're the only ones, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. That's contrary to Scripture. That's not Scripture. Look, I could make that a message, but I'm not going to. Understanding that there's one body. Well, what does that consist of, preacher? Who is that body? Here's who it is. It's those from Pentecost to the rapture. From Pentecost to the rapture. Everyone in that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him, follow Him in faith. You know who they are, Brother Carl? That is the body of Christ. It's going to go a little more in depth with it in just a moment. But Paul's saying, hey, there is one body. Now, there's a multitude of denominations. There's different convictions in the lives of people. People follow certain things. They pick out things that they like in the Word of God, and they really run on that. They like that. They consider that part of their doctrine. My doctrine is Genesis to Revelation. Say, well, you don't preach on gifts or some of these things. I do sometimes. And for foreign places, but those without the Word of God, they might need a sign. But we are not in need of a sign. We've got the Word of God. We are without excuse. If we say, well, you got to show me a sign. He said, I give you my book. What else do you want? Now, denominations are of men. Give me a big hallelujah right there. I know the Nationals in Memphis this week. And good for them. I go to the state meeting sometimes. I've preached at it once. We do that. I'm in unity with those guys. I don't have any problem with that. They do not. This church is autonomous. They have no control over this church. I can do anything, or we can do anything we want to do right here. But we choose to be associated with them because we're in like belief. And I'm just going to tell you, it's good to be under the umbrella with some other brothers, especially in this day and time. But there's only one body. And it's going to be good when you get to heaven with some of them and go, ha, ha, ha. I don't think God will let you do that. He just might let you. You don't know. There's one Spirit. One. Now, one Holy Spirit. There's multitudes of spirits, and we know that because the Bible teaches us, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. So that has to mean that there's other spirits that aren't of God. You have a spirit in yourself. He said he seeks them to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is in your spirit. You worship by the Holy Spirit to the Father above. So there we have the Spirit of God working in us, but there's only one Spirit, Holy Spirit. Who is this? He's the Holy Ghost. Some said, "Do you believe in ghosts?" I said, "I sure do. Got one lives in me." That freaks them out. Who might that be? I'd say it'd be the Holy Ghost is who that is. He has taken up his abode with me. I'm going to go into that a little more in detail in just a moment. But it's the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He is what unifies. What? I thought the Word done that. Men's interpretation of the Word is what has divided. It's not the Word. It's the men's interpretation of the Word. And what does that do? That's why there's denominations and divisions. And the Bible calls them schisms. So we have that. But there's only one Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He unifies, but he not only does that, he comforts us. Jesus said, "I must go away. It's expedient that I go. But if I go, I'll send you another comforter." Then he says on over in John 16, he said, he's going to guide you in all truth. So he not only comforts us, but he guides us. Here is a surefire test to if you're saved or not. If sin brings no conviction on you, you are L-O-S-T. It's just that simple. Either that or this book's not true, and this book's true. So he's going to guide you in all truth. What's he going to do? He's going to let you live in sin. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That means no. No. What does that mean, preacher? That means this. Praise God. The Holy Ghost convicts us of our sin. He reproves us. He guides us in all truth. He cannot lie. Now, so we're sure, are you with me?
Yes.
One body, one spirit, and one hope. One hope. Now, if you want this defined, I would look at Titus 2 and 13, and the Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there it is. There's one hope. What is that? His return. His return and a literal, literal resurrection of those that died in Christ. Bless God, I'm talking about getting up out of the ground, coming up out of the ocean, wherever they've been scattered, whatever happened to them, cremated, burned, ashes dumped out, glory to God, put back together, glorified with Christ, and gone to live in heaven. One hope. That's my hope. Preached funeral last week. Last week. Had a funeral interjected there in camp meeting. Went out there, preached at the graveyard. Just had a great service. And got a little excited there preaching. I had been in camp meeting, you know. That'll wind you watch. So I was pretty wound up and full anyway. And got there and got to preaching some. And talking about, there we was, about to lay her in the ground. And my granny and pawpaw, just about three rows from where I was standing, and Uncle Jude's wife and baby, and I mean just a host of family. There they are, not far away, and I'm thinking, bless the Lord, one of these days, a literal resurrection. That's my hope tonight.
Amen.
The lost people don't have that hope. They'll die and go to hell, and then they'll be resurrected and called up to the great white throne of judgment and then cast into a lake of fire to burn forever. I don't know why everybody don't choose this way. One hope. But don't stop at the hope. Here's he said, now there's one Lord. Who's that? That's pretty simple. That'd be Jesus Christ. One. Hear, O Israel. I'm not even going to have to spend a lot of time on that. Because there's one Lord. I don't believe there's a person in this building. Everybody here may not be saved. I don't know, but I think that We are, but I don't know. But I don't think there's anybody in this building that would disagree that there's one Lord tonight. They done a survey. This is a sad lot. They done a survey of some modern day seminaries, and you know what? A large percentage of them said, hey, we think they might be other gods or another god, and God's not the only one. Certainly Jesus isn't the only way. You know what they are? L-O-S-T. Yeah. Capital letters with about 14 exclamation points out behind that. Hey, they're in a bad way. Now, if you believe not on the Son of God, you're condemned already. Living under condemnation. Whoa, my. One Lord, one faith. Now, I want to read you something. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there myself. I want to read you something. And understanding this. For by grace are you saved through
faith.
And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we know that there's that is the one in the faith. But one faith here is speaking to this. It's speaking to the body of truth. What is that? That's the word of God. Now, let me get my 2 and 42. Let me get on the right page here. Listen to this. This is post-Pentecost. This is the first church. I want you to listen close. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In other words, in the apostles' doctrine, the thing taught by the apostles. What was that? That was by the Holy Spirit, the word of truth. Why was that, preacher? Because they didn't have the Bible yet. It's being written at this time. Now they had the Old Testament and they knew the scripture. Paul said, bring me the parchments when he's in prison. What's that? That's the old book, praise God. Hey, and listen, the law is perfect converting the soul. You know that's the whole object of God, to save fallen mankind, to bring them to himself.
Amen.
Jew, Brother Barry, and Gentile alike. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he put that in there. I've been in trouble tonight. He had to put that in there. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That'd be us.
Amen.
So there we have. That's what that is. One faith. It's the body. It's the body of truth. It was the apostles' doctrine. It was the, and they had in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread and in prayers. Look, they had everything in common. And all that believed were together had all things common. What's that talking about? Well, that's talking about one faith. One. Now, I'm not picking on him just because he's here tonight, but God is going to open the eyes to some of Barry's people. He's going to open their eyes to that. He said, Israel is blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. I just got something today. Did you know that's plural? So it's not speaking to individuals. I've misunderstood that for a long time. I thought, well, sometimes the last one's going to be get in, and then I'd get to Revelation, and I'd think, well, hold on, here's some that's saved out of the tribulation period, and how can that be if they've taken away? Well, no, it's not talking about individuals. It's talking about masses and nations of people. And so, once Israel is not, they're not going to be blinded. Once the fullness of those nations have come in, who's that going to be? I don't know who all that includes. But I know this, there'll be a fullness of that. And then Israel won't be blinded anymore. They're going to recognize him for who he is. One faith. Now, one baptism. This can get you in hot water with certain denominations right here. We have the writer of this book who has already explained this in 1 Corinthians to what he's speaking of, and I'm going to read it to you now. You bear with me. Brother Junior quotes this often because he's got a lot of friends that's in other denominations, and they question this, and I'm not. Now listen. How many bodies is there?
One.
How many faiths? How many baptisms? Hold on now. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we've read that already. Which Spirit is that? Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That doesn't have a thing to do with my hand, your hand, or water. That's not hard to understand. It's speaking of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't need a fountain. He is the fountain. So here we have, for by one Spirit, here's how it happens. You do not, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is A plus. That's exactly right. You must have the Spirit of Christ, or plainly, you are none of His. How do we get the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of Christ comes within us. Then He baptizes us in the body. But now, I thought we need to be baptized. You do. This is the real baptism. But then there's ritual baptism that is essential to showing your conversion. Hands down, Barnett, I got problems with somebody that's been saved for any period of time and have not desired to be baptized. Something's wrong spiritually. Amen, preacher. You ought to be baptized. Listen. Being many, for by one Spirit are we baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, hallelujah, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, I wish this was an original thought, but it is not. But I love this. I was reading after a guy by the name of Phillips this afternoon, and here's what he said. He said, the baptizing of the Spirit puts us in the body, and the drinking puts us in the body of Christ, but the drinking puts the Spirit in us. My word, that's good. How do you do that? That's why Paul said, be not drunk with wine, where is in its excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Paul said, hey, you've been made to drink this. Well, that's good.
Amen.
One baptism. So should we be baptized? Or in Romans 6 and 4, it said we're buried with him in baptism. Buried with him. We can't take you out here in the backyard and cover you up and then dig you back up so you can follow him and simulate his resurrection. He'd choke to death. We do it in a watery grave before everybody, before witnesses. And you know what it says? It's saying, I've trusted Christ as Savior, and I'm following him in believer's baptism, and like he was buried, you're going to bury me in a pool, and you're going to raise me up to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
One baptism. And then it closes like this. And one God, and we're right back to where we started. And Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How's he in us? By the Spirit. Who is he? He is the Father. He's God the Father. Now this isn't cursing. Paul used this word in Hebrews, so I'm going to use it here. And I don't want somebody to say, the preacher's up there cursing. I am not. I'm using a Bible term. God has no bastards. None. None. And you know what everyone in this room has? One daddy. You don't have two or three. You got one. One father. You know what he's saying right here? He's one God, and he is father of all. Who's he father of? Praise God. His sons and daughters. Those that be born. Those that have the Spirit of Christ. Those that have been baptized into the body. And that body is the bride, compiled of his sons and daughters. Praise God forever. And he's the father of those all. Of all those, he's the father. Now, I like to think of him like this. Now, you allow your preacher a little leeway right here. If he's father, he would also be this. It would encompass all fathers as well as grandfather. He is father. He is the father. So he would act in every role as a father acts. Now, so here's what my son said. You didn't act like that with me. I said, no, that's right, I didn't. Dusty's right, I didn't. I was gone most of the time, worked two jobs. And when I wasn't doing that, it's fishing, doing things I ought to not be. I wasn't leading my family in the way I should have been leading them. And so I didn't act like him, like I do with Colin. Doesn't mean I love him less. No, I don't. I mean, I love that boy. I was heartbroken. Dusty couldn't be at camp meeting. And a bunch of his friends was asking where he was. He couldn't come. And so, but here's the way it works with the grandchild. He walks over to the door, and he can't twist the knob. And he says, Pa, please. There's not even a response. I go straight to the door and open it. He said, please. Pa, please. He grins when he does it. Please. Oh, yeah. It's all yours, son. Dusty said, man, I'm written out of the wheel. It's all belong to that boy right there. Pa, please. I crawl in the prayer room. I say, Father, please, please, if it be in your will, please. You know why? Because he knows when to unfold the rose. I heard someone say one time he picks the prettiest flowers first. I like that. And so I don't understand God's, because his ways are not my ways, and my thoughts aren't his thoughts. What I think is awful. Brother Joe preached, out of all the messages the other night, Joe preached for me. I loved all them men. All of them spoke to me, but Joe's message preached to me, because there's been detours I didn't understand. But the detour is in right in the will of God. God's will sometimes brings detours in our life. I don't understand why this one left and this one stayed and this one couldn't and that one could and this flourished and that failed. There's just a host of things I do not understand. I do not understand, but I still say in your will, but I say, please. Hell, you don't have the right to do that. Yes, I do, because he's my father. He's my heavenly father. Paul said, Abba, Father. In the Greek, Dr. Thigpen said at the Bible Institute, he said the best translation there is daddy. Daddy, father. Please. Why? Because he's one. No doubt about it. Someone once said, as they're coming to the piano and getting us a song, I want to say Moody coined this, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Could have been Spurgeon. One of the old preachers of yesteryear said, I am only one man, but I am one. And I can't do all things, but I can do something. And you know what? You see that right there? No one else in the entire universe has that. Now, if God makes us, makes individuals of us, that he gives us something no one else has. Now, I know there's one, I'm in the body, one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one hope, one spirit. But ain't nobody else got that. You know what that tells me? Brother Gary, that tells me that God gave you something that he didn't give nobody else. Why is that? I don't know what it's like to have 8 or 10 children, even 4 or 5 or 2 or 3. We only had the one son. But I've heard them say it over and over, Brother Dennis, I don't love one any more than another. But all of them are special. One. There's only one Mark. Though you got 3 boys. There's one Lewis, David, Brent. Only one. That spoke to me today. If God made us that kind of individual and he is one and he made us one, surely, surely there's one thing he's got for you he don't have for nobody else. Now, not salvation, we're all in one body. But there's a work or a blessing or a gift or something that he's given you because nobody else got that. Would you stand with me as we sing? If you need to pray, you're welcome to come.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.